There was a story I heard of a lady once who was in a not a very nice part of town. She had been shopping late at night toward evening, and the parking lot was dark. And she walked out to her car, and she realized that she had locked herself out. Her keys were in the car, and she couldn't get in. So she was quite concerned about that. And while she was standing there trying to figure out what to do, a little concerned because it was so dark and lonely, this big, big guy with a beard and leather jacket on a motorcycle pulled up alongside of her and got off the bike and went up to her and said, "Is there anything I can do to help?" And she said, "Well, I locked myself out of the car and I can't get in. My keys are in there." And he said, "Let me take a look." And he got something out of his motorcycle, and within a few seconds he had opened the car up and was able to get her keys out for her. And he heard her say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you. You know, here I am locked out, and you sent a wonderful, good man to help me, you know, get into my car and get out of here." And the man heard that, and he said, "Ma'am," he says, "I'm not a good man." He says, "In fact, I was just released from prison the other day for car theft." And then he heard us say, "Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you. You sent me a professional." Isn't that just how it is, though, how we judge people? We look at somebody, we look at their appearance, or they look at where they're from, and we make a judgment call about them. You know, that's something that we really shouldn't do, should we? We know that. We're told to judge not, that, you know, lest we be judged by the same criteria that we judge other people. I'm growing up in the church. I've been around for a long time. I kind of walk to a different beat many times. And I've been judged by people. I remember one year we were out in the Feast of Tabernacles out in Idaho. And I had been ordained an elder at that time, and we were sitting there in the ministerial section. See, they had at the Feast of Tabernacles sometimes areas roped off for the ministers. And I was sitting there, and it was probably a half an hour before service with Cheryl, and looking the way I look at sometimes, and an usher came up, and he said, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me." I said, "Yeah, what's up?" He said, "Well, this section is reserved for the ministers." Now, obviously, he was judging me for some reason. I don't know what, but he didn't think I was an elder and or I should be one, most likely because of the way I looked. And I couldn't understand that because I usually look really, really fine. You know, I look good. Right, Cheryl, don't I? When you met me, I was fine. But I said, "Yeah, okay, I got it." And he walked away, came back 5 minutes later, and he says, "Sir, this is the minister's section. You can't sit here." I said, "Yeah, okay, I got it, you know." I didn't move, and he walked away. Came back again. He says, "You can't sit here, sir." He says, "This is for ministers only." I said, "I am a minister." He said, "Oh, you are? You are?" Like it was so hard to believe. And so I did a few magic tricks for him and showed him that I was a holy man of God. No, I didn't do that. But again, we get judged. Now, maybe we shouldn't do things that cause people to judge us negatively, should we? But nevertheless, we do make judgments, and sometimes they're wrong. And appearances can be deceptive. Jesus Christ himself warned us of that. If you turn over to Matthew 23, verse 27, let's back up to verse 25, where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he says, "You scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortions and excess. You blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like the wilted sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outward side, on the outside, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness." So we may see people that we think are holy and righteous, that got it all together, and we make a judgment, and we could be completely wrong just on their appearance. Because what Jesus said is, what's inside, you're rotten and you're vile. And that's what we should consider when we judge people, shouldn't we? God directed Samuel in the same way. If you turn over to 1 Samuel 16, this is the account of Samuel having to ordain or find a new king for Israel. So 1 Samuel 16, and we read something that I find interesting. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, he was a prophet of Israel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? Saul, he said, you're no longer going to be king because of what you did. And Samuel was really grieving this. You know, Saul was this big man, stature. He had it all together. You know, that he was the king of Israel. And Saul was mourning that he was being deposed by God. And God says, how long are you going to cry about this? Seeing have I rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. So he's saying, you know, Samuel, quit your crying and belly aching. Saul's no longer going to be king. I have somebody else that I've anointed king, and go to the son, to Jesse. Dropping down to verse 7. Well, let's go down to 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Eliab was, this cat was, you know, got it all together. Muscles, tall, good looking, you know, he had the latest hairdo, probably tatted up a little bit, you know, and he was, you know, he had it together. Armani suit, if you will, nice car, probably a Mustang, you know. So. Trying to gain favor here amongst for certain people, but it's a Mustang man. But he had it together, and this is Samuel's looking at him and saying, this is obviously the king. What does it say in verse 7? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. What does God say? For the Lord sees not as a man sees. For a man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. That's how God judges people. He doesn't look at how good-looking they are, how well-dressed they are, how smart they are, how articulate they are, what they've accomplished in life, you know, their career, their goals, they're the CEO of Microsoft or whatever. None of that matters to God. That's not what he looks at. He looks on the heart, the inner being and the man. Because, why is that? Because physical beauty and stature with flesh and blood, that fades, doesn't it? That's what it says in Proverbs 31:30, speaking about the virtuous woman, you know, that your beauty is going to fade. But what's important is what's inside. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. Look for the 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, and we'll see that as God's ambassadors, and that's what we are, we are the ambassadors of God. We represent him to the world. We represent his way, his life, his nation, his people, what he is in totality, us, flesh and blood. We've been called to be representatives of him. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we read, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Nope, I got the wrong one. Well, it doesn't matter what I was going to read. It might be 2 Timothy 2. Oh, wait a minute. Verses 9 and 10. I was reading the wrong thing. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. What do we look? You look at these TV programs or YouTube, and you see the awards programs and the Academy Awards, and everybody dressed up to the nines, and you see all these people with such wealth and you know, they have jewels on from Harry Winston that cost millions of dollars, and they have their hair done, and, you know, we look at them and say, boy, I'd like to be like them. But he says, women don't do that. And he's talking to men, too. Men do the same thing. I always see George Clooney, for instance, or Denzel Washington. I said, man, they look good. That can't be a suit off the rack, and they're not. They're bespoke suits. You know what a bespoke suit is? That's a suit that they pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for that's built on them. So they may have an ugly, beat-up body underneath, but the suit that they put on them is built to perfection. That's why they look so good, because they didn't go to Macy's and just take a suit and get it, you know, built. But he says, all of that is nothing. Don't look on that. Don't look on that. He says in verse 10, but what really becomes women or men professing godliness, which becomes women professing godliness with good works? So he says, don't look on all of that, but look on what professes godliness and good works. Again, it's what's inside. It's what's inside, not our physical appearance. You know, we're going to the feast shortly, aren't we? Three times a year, we're going to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we go there, we're going to go to a place and see a lot of people in services. And we don't know who those people are. Many of them are from the various churches around the country that believe as we do. They may be from other groups that are not a part of United, but still believe as we do. And they could be people, a mixed multitude, if you will, from outside. I remember last year in Walnut Creek, there was a woman that showed up with her child. She was asking her minister about why they don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And he, you know, skirted around that and tried to make excuses. And she says, well, I'm really interested in that. And he says, well, I know somebody that called him up and they're keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. She was in the area because her husband was there on business. And so he gave her John Miller's phone number, and she called him up, and he said, yeah, we're having a Feast of Tabernacles over here in Walnut Creek. You're welcome to come. And she did. And she came in with a little boy, very lovely lady. We got to meet her. We talked to her. But if she didn't have 100 tattoos on her, she had 200. She was tatted up all up and down, and still a lovely lady. Should we have judged her? Would you have judged her because of what she looked like? You know the styles nowadays among young people, older people too, shaved head on one side. I got a sister-in-law like that. I've got, I think, a niece like that. They'll shave one side of their head and it's long on the other side. Do we judge them? Do we make an opinion on them because of that's the style and what they wear? Maybe you look at somebody and their skirt's too short. You know, it's a quarter of an inch above their knee. That's too short, we may say. Or it's too long. Look at that old hag. It's down to her ankles. You know, get with it. I never said that. I said you say those things. We look at a guy. Maybe his hair's too long. Maybe it's too short. Why does he shave his head? This guy's got a big beard. He looks like the Amish, you know. This guy got tattoos on his arm. He's been in the church for 5 years. Those look like new tattoos. We judge them, don't we? But we shouldn't. We go to the feast to worship God. We come together to worship God. God, again, does not judge men and women in the same manner as we do, and nor should we. God calls many, many people. You know, in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, you know, that part where it says, and to those people come, says the Spirit says, come. You know, one of those things it says, and to those who are willing, come. If somebody comes here among us, we should welcome them. We should love them. We don't have to accept sin. I want to make that clear. There's a time and place for everything. But we should not judge people and make an opinion of people by how they look or what they're wearing, and sometimes even what they say, because they may not be as knowledgeable as you. We should be patient and kind and loving. Because what does God say to us through Isaiah the prophet? Let's go over to Isaiah 66. God says, I'm not looking at what you're wearing. I'm not looking at your tattoos or your hairstyle. Now, there's things in the Bible, I should just say, that talks about those things and how we should not be like way out there and causing other people problems. But God says, I don't look on that. I look on the heart. I look on the heart. Somebody took my 66th chapter. Here it is. Of Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 2. At first, starting in verse 1. Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you are going to build for me, and where is the place of my nest? I own everything. I have everything. Your flesh and blood, your people, your houses are wood and stone. I dwell in the universe. There's nothing you're going to give me or say to me. He says, but for all those things have my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Lord. But to this man or woman will I look, or this teenager, or this child, this person. This is who I will look at. This is who will get my attention. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. So I just want to encourage you all to think about that and how often we do judge each other and comment about, you know, people's hearts or their appearance. We should be very, very careful about that, because that, again, is not what God is looking at and how he's judging us. And thank God for that. Because if he was the George Clooney's and the Brad Pitt's and the Denzel Washington's and the, the good-looking women, I can't think of any movie stars right now. If I said anybody, you'd know how old I am, because I'd say Marilyn Monroe or someone. Say, Andy's already rolling his eyes, you know. But God doesn't look at people the way we do. We need to look at people the way God looks at people and love each other the way God loves all of us and is calling all of us. Because none of us deserve to be here or deserve anything that he gives us. So let's remember that. Let's love each other. When we go to the feast, let's look around and even go up to that motorcycle guy with the leather jacket and the long hair tatted up and down, and welcome him as a brother in Christ at the feast that we've all come to worship God.